As we continue our study in the book of Proverbs, we're still in the 8th chapter, and last time we'd gotten through the 24th verse. At this part of Scripture, wisdom is the subject. And wisdom is here as being depicted as though it were a person. It's personified. It's spoken of in the first person. He says in verse 22, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old." So the Lord possessed wisdom in the very beginning. At the time of creation, wisdom was there, and the Lord possessed him and used wisdom. The Lord used wisdom to create the whole universe. He says in verse 23, "I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was." Wisdom was there. And here he's talking about the first day of creation, day one. This is the time when the earth was without form and void. That is, it had no shape. It had no inhabitants. It was void. It didn't have the energy that it needed even for gravity. And then the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, or the Spirit quivered on the face of the waters. The energy was now injected into the earth, and it could start taking on some form after this. That's day one. We discussed that in our last lesson. Verse 24 says, "When there was no depths, I was brought forth." When there was no fountains abounding with water. This is talking about day two, when the water was divided, and we have the atmosphere separating the upper waters from the lower waters. The mist was around the earth. The canopy was around the earth of mist, and the waters below were in the seas, and God separated them. And that's in Genesis 1, verses 6 through 8. We discussed that in our last lesson. Now in verse 25, he says, "Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth." Verse 26, "While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world." So wisdom is there before day three of creation, when the sea was separated from the dry land to form the earth and the fields and the mountains. At this time, the grass, herbs, and trees were made. This is Genesis 1, 9 through 13. So let's read that. Genesis 1 begins with verse 9. "And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day." So wisdom was there in the beginning, in the creation. Wisdom was there. Day one, day two, day three, as we read here. Then we read further in verse 27. "When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth." Here we are reading about day four of creation, when God made the sun, moon, and the stars. Wisdom was there. And this is found in Genesis 1, 14 through 19. So let's read those verses from Genesis. "And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day." So wisdom was there at that time. Wisdom is there when this happened. And the word for compass means circle. So Genesis chapter 1 told us that the earth is a globe. And now we see that he says when he set this compass upon the face of the earth, this circle on the earth, wisdom is there. In Isaiah 40, verse 22, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." So here again we hear the Bible speaking of the circle of the earth. God sits upon the circle of the earth, this compass of the earth. This deep that surrounds the earth is either the endless heavens or the sea in which the circular horizon can best be seen. And so wisdom was there, is the point that's being made here. You cannot get by without wisdom. You can't get around the fact that wisdom is a necessity for all things. It's a necessity in the creation. God used the wisdom. It was there. It was present. And the same wisdom we have today. Verse 28 further says, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. The word for cloud is not the same as rain cloud, but it can mean a vapor. Thus, this could be referring to the vapor canopy, which was the upper water. Before the great flood, there was no rain, and consequently there were no rain clouds. The rivers were fed from underground water stores. Hence, God provided for water to be circulated in this manner. Making this underground flow of water to be sufficient would be done by strengthening the fountains of the deep. And so that's what he speaks of here. He's when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. That'd be referring to the mist, the vapor canopy above, and the water below, which flow through the underground systems as the fountains of the deep. Wisdom was there when God did this. Verse 29, he further says, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandments when he appointed the foundation of the earth. Here we read about God doing another thing in this creation. His decree to the sea was to set the bounds of the sea so the land would be inhabitable for man and animals and plants. A boundary was made, and by controlling the boundaries of the seas, the rest of the earth could be stable and have foundations for man to live on. Jeremiah 5:22 refers to this. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. And of course, this is referring to that time that's spoken of here in verse 29, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. And the point of this all is that wisdom was there. Verse 30 says, then I was by him, as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. So wisdom was there. And we cannot overestimate the importance of wisdom. The very same wisdom that was used in the creation, that's the wisdom that is a part of what we have today. Now, we don't know the things that God knows about creation, certainly not. But everything we know is in perfect harmony with the knowledge it took to make the earth. It's all compatible with each other. We don't have some theory given to us about the earth in Genesis that conflicts with the true facts of how things did come about. God made all of this wisdom. He has all of this wisdom. And so we have the truth when we have wisdom from God. Truth that goes back to the very basis of the creation of things. A truth that'll be good forever, whichever way you want to go, backwards or forwards. This truth is truth, and that's what wisdom is. So he says when he was giving this decree to the sea, he says, then I was by him. Verse 30. As one brought up with him, I was a craftsman at his side. John 1:1 says the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He says, I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Wisdom is a master craftsman, and wisdom was there with God, by God, at the time of the creation of all these things. And God was very pleased with this wisdom. He says, I was daily his delight. God rejoiced in the power and the benefits that this wisdom provided in the creation of all things. I was daily his delight, he says, and rejoicing always before him. And it should certainly be the same with us today. When we have the wisdom of God, it should be a delight for us, a joy for us, a joy to talk about, a joy to think about, a joy to know that we're in harmony with all of the laws of God. And sure enough, Genesis 1:31 says, "And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good." And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God was very pleased. Everything that he made was very good. Not just good, very good. It was excellent. There was no flaw. Everything was perfect. And it was all made by the great plan that included this wisdom of God here. And so we should be pleased with this wisdom. All involved in the creation were pleased and would rejoice. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and of course, wisdom there in their midst. Job 38, 4 through 7, God asked this question, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" So God here is referring to the time when he did lay the foundation of the earth. This did happen. God did this. It happened. And who was smart enough to be there? Who was fortunate enough to be there? Wisdom was there. Wisdom is telling us here. I was there. I was by his side. I was with him when this happened. And so it gives us more appreciation for wisdom, actually. Again, in verse 31, he says, "Rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." When God rejoiced over his creation, and we read there in Genesis 1:31, when God saw everything he had made, behold, it was very good. He had to be pleased with that, and this was a cause for joy. And, of course, wisdom here says that always rejoicing before him. Again, we read in Job 38, verse 7, he says, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy," this was certainly a time for joy. And so God rejoiced over his creation. Wisdom is also rejoicing, especially in the creation of mankind, who alone in the physical creation has the capacity to appreciate wisdom and truth. Of all the things made during the creation, mankind is the one created thing that can truly appreciate the great wisdom and truth of God. It's the one then that can truly appreciate wisdom. It's the one that is told to have this wisdom, to seek for it, to work for it, to strive to have it. And so this was the time of the creation. The joy of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the joy of wisdom, and of course, as we look back on it, we then have a very similar joy, just knowing that it happened and knowing how that it happened. Now, as we move into verse 32, we see how we're going to use this wisdom. He's going to tell us how to use wisdom. This is the wisdom used by God in the creation. How are we to use it today? This same wisdom used by God in creation is to also be used by us today. But how? Verse 32 says, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways." Hear and obey is what he's saying. Hearken unto me. We must hear the word. How can we believe in him of whom we have not heard? According to Romans 10:14. We must obey what we hear. This is very simple. Keep my ways is what he says. Blessed are they that keep my ways. This results in our being blessed, blessed by the Creator. Now, if we're looking for some complicated command, we don't have that here. He simply says, "Blessed are they that keep my ways." It does not take very much intelligence to figure out what this could mean. Keep my ways. If a parent told a child to keep my ways, to do things the way I do them, to do things the way I want you to do them, to use me as a pattern for you, wouldn't be hard for the child to understand that. It's not hard for us to understand today what God means when he tells us the very same thing. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Verse 33 says, "Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not." Again, we are told to hear wisdom's words. Refuse it not. We're never justified to refuse it because we do not need it. And if we refuse it because we do not want it, This is an open rejection of God himself. Refuse it not, for you may never have another offer. Hearing instruction is the only way to be wise. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Again, verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Happiness is given to all that hearken to this wisdom. They are blessed, according to verse 32 and 34. Those who watch and wait at wisdom's gate are blessed as they watch and wait. They are happy to be hearing the word of God. It is the best place they can be. As they continue to knock, it'll be open to them. They are seeking wisdom, and they shall find wisdom. And they're going to be blessed. Blessed is the man that heareth me. So we are to hear, listen to the wisdom, watch and wait at my gates. My gates are going to be the place wherever wisdom is available. Go where the wisdom is. Go where you can find it. At my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Go where wisdom resides. If you're looking for a person, you go to his house and look for him. The same thing is true with wisdom. Go where wisdom resides. And wisdom, of course, is in the Word of God. It's in the Book of God, the Word, the Bible. And so that's where we are to be watching and waiting. That's where we will be blessed. We will be blessed when we do that. Well, we're still talking about wisdom in this chapter, and we're learning some good things about it, of course, things that we can apply to ourselves today, and things that we definitely cannot afford to be without. So as we spend time studying the Bible every day, we're watching daily at my gates. We're waiting at the post of my doors, and we're going to be blessed. Blessed is the man that heareth me. And he further says in verse 35, For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. He finds life more abundant on this earth, and he has the pledge of eternal life after leaving this earth. So just think about that, to find wisdom. It's just not to make ourselves better informed, give us a better view on what's going on around about us, and have a good perspective on life and death. But to find wisdom is finding life. This is life. These words of God that we discover in our Bibles are life. And they give us the favor of the Lord. This pleases God. God is pleased when we study His Word. Don't we want to please our Creator? Don't we want to please Him with whom we have to do? The one who's going to judge us? Don't we want to give a pleasure to Him? We do that when we find wisdom. Whoso findeth me findeth life. We can hope for and work for no greater blessing than to obtain the favor of the Lord. The word here, favor, means delight or to be acceptable or to have pleasure. That's what we give to God when we find wisdom. We are going to give God pleasure, and we're going to get favor from Him. He's going to be delighted in us. Verse 36. Here we have the other side of the coin now. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Now here's the opposite of this. We have a choice of whether or not we find him or not. Whether or not we study the Bible, study wisdom. There's a choice there. We can decide to study and learn and apply it, or we can reject it and not know anything about it. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Those who sin against wisdom sin against Christ. They show contempt for his authority, and they are actually contradicting all of the reasons for his life and death. It's as though he came and died for nothing. It's as though he died for a lost cause, as far as that person is concerned, because he's contradicting Christ's reason for being. What can be worse than hating your Creator and your Savior? The very one who made you, the very one who wants to save you and to prevent you from going to hell, this is the one you hate. What can be worse than that? When a person hates what is best for themselves, they are wronging their own soul. Sin is a wrong to the soul. Whatever damage sin does to the soul, the sinner does the damage. So it doesn't matter how much you may be punished for your sins. It doesn't matter how bad it's going to be in hell. It's not someone else who's doing this to you. You're doing it to yourself. You're wronging your own soul when you sin. And when you neglect the Word of God, when you reject and refuse wisdom, you're actually wronging your own soul. It's as though you picked up a hammer and were mashing your own thumb with it, hitting your own leg with it. This is what you're doing. Those that hate wisdom love their own death, actually, because this is what they're working for. This is the thing they put the most priority on, are things that are going to lead to their own death and destruction. The wisdom of God is the source of life. If you burn this wisdom, you're acting as if you love death. This is the death described in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. There the Apostle Paul says, "And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." That's what's going to happen to those who do not seek after wisdom, who do not obey God. They are going to meet the Lord in the judgment day in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. They're the ones that know not God. They're the ones that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. They will be cut out of all the glories of heaven and all of the joys that lay in wait for the children of God in eternity. After our lesson, it concludes the 8th chapter of Proverbs. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.